What is up, guys? This is the combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario. OakRidgeFord.com. Norm and Mike, it is Wednesday, April 26, 2023. Another off day in the series between the Leafs and Lightning. And you know, the next game the Leafs and Lightning play, if the result is good, favorable to us, your Maple Leafs, our Maple Leafs will be moving on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Mr. Augello, the Leafs up 3-1. Game five is pivotal, and Michael Bunting will not be a part of it.
Good evening, Norm. Well, it's understandable. I mean, first of all, Bunting's 3-game suspension is elapsed. He practiced with the team today. And Sheldon Keefe was pretty straightforward. It's like, I mean, you don't change a lineup that has won 3 games in a row. And I mean, that's completely understandable. Bunting said all the right things. You know, he wants to be he's a good teammate. He's friends with all these guys. He sees a future with the Leafs. And I think the Leafs see a future with him. But right now, I mean, why would you upset the apple cart by putting him into a lineup that's winning? I don't get, you know, I've seen like, and we know that sometimes social media is a cesspool. I don't get the sort of the criticism of Bunting that has sort of popped up. You know, we don't need him anymore. Matthew, not okay, whatever. I mean, the guy has been a top six winger for this team, making less than $1 million for 2 years. He was a Calder Trophy nominee. He's well liked in that room. He's you know, he works well with skill, which is a tough thing to do. I mean, ask the Pittsburgh Penguins in terms of Sidney Crosby and their inability for years to find wingers that could play with him. Right. And then they found Pascal Dupuis and Chris Kunitz, and that worked for a while. Now they have Guentzel, and they have Guentzel and Brian Rust. So it's a situation where, you know, I mean, they're not going to change a winning lineup, but Sheldon Keefe made it very plain that. Sorry, they got noise in the background here. They need him to be ready to go in the lineup at a moment's notice, which will probably happen in game six or game one of the next series.
This is the combo for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, OakRidgeFord.com. I've got all the 23 escapes you can handle about to arrive. If you're looking for a car in and around the $600 a month range, on lease with no money down, I can help you out with that. Bronco Sport, we have F-150s. You know how to reach me. Check me out on my Instagram page at Norm at Oak Ridge Ford. Mike, it's the recency bias that I have a problem with. Mm-hmm. Fans hating on Michael Bunting because he got suspended. You know, there was literally no Michael Bunting hate during the regular season. There was no Michael Bunting hate before he threw a shoulder into Eric Chernak's head. He did not intend to be suspended because of that hit. He was playing on the edge in a game where the rest of the guys didn't look like much. That's kind of his job. He crossed the line, according to the NHL. And the fact that fans want to disown him is disheartening. And I brought this question up on the last combo, OG's Converge. You can see it on our YouTube channel. If Austin Matthews got reckless, threw a shoulder and got suspended 3 games, would we feel the same way about him? Because it's not like Michael Bunting has a record of being suspended over and over again. It's not like he did the Kadri thing a year ago. So what's the difference?
I don't know. Really? I'm not sure what the difference is. And I have a feeling that if Michael Bunting scores a goal in a game six or a game seven, just like everybody's throwing like flowers and candy at Alex Kerfoot right now, that will, like you said, recency bias and everything. But I mean, I don't get it. But that's fandom. I mean, fan is short for fanatic. And so, you know, fanatic, if you expect fanatics to act reasonably and logically, you'll be waiting a long time. So I think his teammates, and I think the coaching staff and the management of this team know what's what with Michael Bunting. I still believe that he's going to end up signing a long-term extension with the Leafs. So, I mean, it's sort of water under the bridge.
Yeah, they just got to get the job done. It is amazing how Michael Bunting, a sweetheart for most of the time, is a pariah. And Alex Kerfoot, who many people, including OGs and converts dating back podcast after podcast, want this guy shipped out of town. He scores the one goal and he's a hero. It typifies what the playoffs is about. It is the next shift, the next hit, the next goal, the last hit, the last shift, the last goal. It's all or nothing right now. And the Maple Leafs are up 3-1. I just wanted to go through a couple of comments, Mike, before we continue on. Bitch Marner, what's up, my friend? A wonderful contributor to the podcast. 09 Max, Bunting is a 23-goal scorer. This team has been eliminated in previous playoffs due to lack of scoring. I'm going to read a few more, Mike. We've got Death Punch 2335. Appreciate the podcast. Been watching for 3 or 4 years now. Think it I may be an OG. Thanks for your work. Cheers. You know what, Death Punch? You show up when the Leafs win the first round series and we're having a great time. It'll probably be late in the evening. You show up and make a comment. We will anoint you an OG. Mike, I got to think too with Michael Bunting. Mm-hmm. If the Leafs lose game five, he draws back in. If yes. The Leafs win game five and are getting set for Boston, how the heck is he not in the lineup? I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. He's dealt with his punishment. The team is flying high. Why the hell change a good thing? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it may be broke soon, and Michael Bunting certainly is on standby. Last word on Bunting. I'll get a few more comments from you, and we'll call it a night.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of whether it's game six. And sorry, Bitch Marner, but you know if you close yourself to the possibility of there being a game six, you're short-sighted. I mean, you can't take Tampa lightly. You have to step on their neck and kill them, like I've said many a time. So if you don't, you do that right. In your own peril. So if game six rolls around, I think then you take out you're probably taking out a Sam Lafferty or somebody like that and putting Bunting in. But right. If you game one of a series against Florida or Boston, I think he goes in there because of the annoying qualities that in a way got him suspended, because I don't think a quote less annoying player would have been suspended for 3 games. He's an antagonist. He's a water bug. He's a pain in the butt. And that's what, that's his job. That's his role. And that's what he does. And that's, you know, sometimes there's a downside to that. So I think he's going to be back in the lineup one way or another after Thursday, either the opening of the next round or in game six.
It's all part of the debate right now, guys. It's all part of the conversation. And we could be talking about Michael Bunting in a much more negative context had the Leafs been down 3-1, but they're up 3-1 on the contrary to an elimination game staring them in the face and a certain change for the brass and maybe some of the players. Now the change might be a change of scenery going into a second round setting. A setting that this group has constructed, this era, collectively have not been able to achieve as of yet. I'm going to go to the YouTube channel /LeafsCombo/community. I put up a poll about 10 hours ago, 147 votes. Thank you very much for that. Does Michael Bunting return to the lineup for game five? 49% say no damn way. 51% say Keefe will find a way. This poll was before Sheldon Keefe announced that he was keeping the same lineup. But we can see it's a polarizing issue and one that most of us will probably forget about if come tomorrow night I'm doing this show here and you are at Scotiabank Arena with a jubilant Leafs head coach and players and fans packing Maple Leaf Square and everybody having a great time. We'll be moving on, and I think we'll move on from the Michael Bunting situation. Speaking of players who would like to get back in there, one Matt Murray appears getting closer to full health, which means that he will take Joseph Woll's spot as the backup to Ilya Samsonov.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the here and the now, tomorrow night, Woll will back up Samsonov, and Eric Schallgren will be the E-bug, which I guess is allowed in the playoffs. But the Marlies start their playoffs, and obviously the Leafs take precedence, but the Marlies start their playoffs against Utica on Thursday. And at this point, with Shogren being the E-bug and with Wall being the backup, the starter for the Marlies would be Keith Petrozelli. So, you know, they want the Marlies to have a successful run in the AHL, and Murray practiced today, is getting closer. I think they want to be careful, obviously, with everything, with a concussion that he had. But I do think that probably, you know, maybe later in the series, 6 or 7, I'm sorry, but that possibility, or the beginning of the next series, he would be the backup to Samsonov. But I think they want him to want, if he's the backup, they want the option to be able to put him in the lineup. This is a guy who, you know, has won 2 Stanley Cups. I know that Samsonov has played well, but, you know, you've seen in other series in the league where goaltenders, you know, Vitek Vanacek was the number one goaltender for the New Jersey Devils. After they lost 2 games to the Rangers, they put Akira Schmid in there, and now right. Akira Schmid is their number one goalie. I mean, that's, you need 2 goalies available. So I think eventually Murray will be the backup.
When Kyle Dubas solidified his tandem Samsonov and Murray, I'm sure he was hoping that both guys would get a lot of work, stay healthy, be successful. And I'm wondering if he envisioned Ilya Samsonov being the guy with Murray, you know, as the support player, right? Murray does have the pedigree. He's been down this road on multiple occasions and has been successful, but health hasn't been his friend of late. Yeah, Mike, he's going to have to draw in if he's healthy and ready to go. It's just mentally, will he be able to just drop in there and perform, especially if it's against that black and yellow team that comes at you like their hair is on fire? Then again, if Matthew Nyes can do it, so can Matt Murray.
And Matt Murray has done it before. If you remember, he was injured in 2017 when Marc-Andre Fleury played most of the first 2 rounds for Pittsburgh. And then in the conference final and the Stanley Cup final, he was the guy. So, you know, he has done that before. Now, again, it's not 2017, it's 2023. But I do think, you know, his experience is something that eventually will be tapped by this team. Right now, Samsonov's the number one. Samsonov has played pretty well. He didn't play particularly well in Game 1, and in Game 3, he really kept the Leafs in that game that allowed Ryan O'Reilly to tie the game and Morgan Riley to win the game. He was pretty good in Game 4 as well, but they, you know, it was 4-1, and people forget, okay, they were down by 3 goals, and pretty much it was an act of God that got this team back tied with 3 goals in a little over six minutes, and then the overtime winner. So, you know, it is possible that down the line they're going to need Matt Murray at an opportune or inopportune time.
Hey, anybody who wants to play and who is not playing, I'm excited for, because they may soon get their chance. Maybe not in this series, but the series to come, if the Leafs can get through. Now, megalomaniac, Tampa's got 0 pressure. If the Leafs lose Game 5, they'll have the most pressure on them than any team in pro sports history. Oh, that's a problem. I think the Leafs have felt the pressure from before puck drop on Game 1 there, megalomaniac. Whether they win tomorrow night or not, the pressure is immense. The pressure is immense. They know what they have to do. And even if they do lose tomorrow night, they're still coming back with a group of players who are better suited to overcome this adversity than groups of the past. You know what I'm saying, Mike?
Well, to say that Tampa's got no pressure on them, I don't think that's the case at all. I mean, you know, there were expectations there. They went out and traded 5 draft picks for Tanner Janot. You know, they've won 3 straight Eastern Conference Finals, 2 Stanley Cups. You know, there's pressure on them to succeed. If you ask John Cooper, there's pressure on them. But, you know, down 3-1, they can say, okay. And this I believe is the tactic, and we talked about this on the Buzzcast earlier in the week, that this will be the tactic that Cooper and the Lightning use tomorrow. They're going to probably try to play an absolute shutdown game, keep it nothing as long as they possibly can to let the fear and let the nerves on the Leafs build. And if by some chance Tampa Bay gets a goal in the first or second period and they shut it down and limit the Leafs, you know, and as the game keeps going, the nerves will keep building. And if they win in Toronto, then it's game six in Tampa. And then we're right back where we were last year or in 2021 when they were up 3-1 against Montreal. I mean, it's not over by a long shot.
Mm-hmm. Tampa's going to go down fighting, and they haven't gone down yet. Greg Knight, if they can't goon it up, it's over. Do you think that Tampa is going to try to lure the Leafs back into the alley and get them off their game that way, Mike? Or will they play a game, and you laid it out, but similar to game four? Look, at the end of the day, Tampa's in a lot of ways outplayed the Leafs in the series. They've just had some bad luck, and they have not been able to hold it down. That doesn't mean pound for pound, minute to minute, when you weigh one out versus the other, Tampa hasn't carried much of the play at times. If they play the same kind of game they did in game four, is that more beneficial to them, thinking that the Leafs, there's no way they're going to come back from another deficit again? Or, you know, do they try to get the Leafs off their game potentially early with some heavy stuff and then take it to them Tampa Bay styles? Many questions.
I know people want to look at it saying, okay, at the end result is the most meaningful thing, and they've won three of the four games, so that's all that means anything. But if you look at it in three of the four games, if you take from point zero to the end of the game and say whoever played the best the majority of the times has been the better team, Tampa's been the better team in three of the four games. They beat Toronto 7-3 in game one, and in game three and four in Tampa, it was weathering the storm and being able to come back, but they were the better team in terms of the majority of the game. Now, I give Toronto complete and full credit that they came back and they tied the game with a minute left and won in overtime and came back from 4-1. But you have to this has got to be the Leafs' best effort of the series for them to beat this team.
What is their game, Mike? Sorry to interrupt you. What is Toronto's game? There's a couple of games that Tampa could play. It remains to be seen how it all comes together for them. Ideally, from Toronto's perspective, what do they need to do to dictate the play and come out the winner?
I think they have to mimic game two, which is jump all over Tampa. I mean, it works in the opposite way. If all of a sudden you get the first goal or first couple goals and you storm Vasilevsky and you beat him a couple times, then all of a sudden they're going to say, we can't beat this team. Now, it's going to take a lot to do that because, again, we know the quality of the Lightning. But that's possible. If they get up 2-3 and it's the middle of the second period, not to say that Tampa will quit, but at a certain point, if they don't think they can come back, you know, that's going to really bleed into their energy. So I think they have to jump on them quickly and really exactly impose their will.
Right. And get pucks on net. Any puck on net is a good opportunity in the playoffs. That's how they won game four. That's how they won game three. John Cooper interviewed yesterday, defending Vasilevsky and asking the pundits who are criticizing him, which goaltender today, last year, 10 years ago, of all time, could stop the kinds of shots that Vasilevsky was expected to stop? These seeing eye goals, the tips from Austin Matthews, the goal from Morgan Riley, the Alex Kerfoot goal. These deflections, nobody scores. That's why they're deflections. And I'm not trying to defend Vasilevsky. This year, he hasn't been as good as he was in years prior, especially last year. And that's a good thing for the Maple Leafs. They need to pounce, and they need to just keep taking shots because, you know, puck luck is a thing. It does run out, but it also keeps scoring. If you put yourself in a position to get that luck and you have that momentum and you don't take your foot off the gas and you have that nerve, my man, it'll work out to your benefit, Mike. Well,
Cooper was responding to former assistant coach of the Lightning, Lalonde, Derek Lalonde, who's doing commentary on Hockey Night in Canada, and was talking about apparently there was some scouting that Vasilevskiy is weak on long shots. And Cooper, you know, he's friends with Lalonde, and Lalonde is, you know, is asked to be, you know, forthcoming and sort of glib on the broadcast. But he sort of deflected and said that that wasn't correct. Well, I think it was correct. Otherwise, I don't think Lalonde would have said that. But, you know, everybody knows that if you take the eyes away from any goaltender, it's going to be tough for him to stop the puck. Right. The Leafs have been effective in doing that. They have to keep doing that. You know, it's going to be tough for Tampa to keep the Leaf forwards away from the front of the net, but they have to keep doing it because that's been the winning formula.
Okay, so a couple of predictions. I'll get your thoughts on the other series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And then lastly, I want to hear from you how excited you are to be able to go up and cover Game 5 at Scotiabank Arena. I can't imagine that the energy will not be extra palpable. So if the Leafs win, give me a score and who has the best game?
5-2 Leafs and Austin Matthews. I think that's not exactly going out on a limb, but, you know, he scored 2 goals. He scored 3 in the last 2 games. You know, he seems on right now, and they don't seem to have an answer for him. So in spite of Steven Stamkos trying to get into a Pier 6 brawl with him. If they win and they win going away, I think it'll be Matthews.
And I think he's got the Gordie Howe hat trick in the series too. So
I think you're right.
If Tampa wins this thing, how does it play out?
If they win game 5, probably 2-0, 2-1, something like that. A game that will drive the Leaf fans crazy because they want to celebrate. They want this team to, like, you know, assert their will on a frustrating game where it's 1-1 or 1-0 and they can't get through, or Vasilevskiy stoning them blind, you know, then it's going to be ultimately very frustrating for the Leafs and their fans.
Which is worse, Mike? On an occasion like game 5, losing in the dying seconds after a hard fought game, or getting the shit kicked out of you? Which is worse?
I almost think that you could flush a blowout easy.
Right.
You know, if it's you come this close, like, okay, well, let's go back to the series that nobody wants to remember. Remember game 5 in Toronto, overtime, they came back from, I think, 3-0, tied it up, lost in overtime. Game 6, they come this close, dominate the overtime, Kotkaniemi scores, goes to game 7. The fact that they got so close twice is the thing that more than anything drove Leaf fans crazy. So I think, you know, these are professionals and they have to sort of get past that. But I do think if they got blown out, it would be something else. That was desperation on the part of a great team. Now we go back to Tampa Bay where we've won twice and we can win again. But I think it would be difficult if it's 2-1 in overtime and Steven Stamkos scores, something like that.
OG's Converse, thanks for listening. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. Our subscriptions are way up, or our subs. So that means a lot to us. YouTube.com/LeafsConvo. There's all kinds of content there. You can go back days, weeks, months, listen to all the stuff we've done. There are polls, there's interaction with myself. And we're just having a blast. This is the time. We've been waiting all season for it. Leafs up 3-1. Just a quick roundabout on the current Stanley Cup playoffs. It's not happening between Tampa and Toronto. We've got Colorado and Seattle tied at 2.
Makar is out for game 5. Nikushkin is out injured. They've already lost Landeskog. Everybody was taking Colorado in 4 or 5, and this is probably going to go 6 or 7. Seattle was playing a lot better than a lot of people expected. And, you know, I don't think Colorado is going to win the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row. This is not the same team that won last year. They've been weakened by free agency and injuries, but they're still a good team. I think they're good enough to get by Seattle.
We have Dallas, Minnesota. That's a wild series, man.
It's a war.
Yeah,
it's a war. Marcus Foligno's major for kneeing cost Minnesota game 5. Pavelski maybe coming back for game six. Dallas is the team that I predicted to go to the Stanley Cup final out of the West. So I think they're going to finish that series off in six.
When you're chirping like that in between games and you have the heat on you because of the things you say, and you get on the ice and you start it, and then you throw a knee like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough pill to swallow for the player, for the team, for the fan base. Vegas, Winnipeg, the Jets have a hope in hell in coming back here. I know they've been trying to fight hard, but Vegas is a good squad.
No, the injuries have killed Winnipeg. Shifley's out. Morris is out. They have the better goalie in Hellebuck, but you have to score. I think Vegas finishes it out in game five.
So I have Edmonton and Boston to face off for the Stanley Cup later on this spring. The Oilers are up 3-2 on the Kings. I don't think any amount of Will Ferrell fandom and face painting can help the Kings to win the series. Or do you disagree?
You're talking to somebody who picked the Kings in seven. I still think that the Oilers are flawed. They did the smart thing and go back to Stuart Skinner in goal instead of going with Jack Campbell, because if they would have gone with Jack Campbell, I think they would have probably definitely lost the series. I think LA is a lot better than people think. But they, of course, the difficulty is trying to shut down Dreisaitl and McDavid. Maybe it's impossible. I just think if it goes to game seven, I know they got to the conference final last year. I just don't believe in Edmonton. And, in spite of all the talent that they have up front, their defense is not very good. And, even with Skinner, who's going to be, in the running for the Calder, and their goaltending might not be good enough to cover up for their sins.
New York and New Jersey, man, oh, man, that just feels right. Tied at 2.
Yeah, I'm surprised that the Devils came back. Like I said, they put Schmid in goal, and he's played well. But the Rangers really didn't follow through after two dominant performances in Newark. They sort of let New Jersey back into the series. I still think the Rangers are the better team, and I still think they're going to win the series, but they really let back the Devils in the series.
We have the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Islanders. Carolina up 3-2. Are they putting it away? The Islanders are pesky.
The Islanders are pesky, and the injuries, again, have hurt Carolina a lot. They lost Teravainen. They came into the series without Svechnikov and Pacioretty. Aho took a shot off the face. I think the Islanders have the better goaltending in Sorokin, right, but I don't think their offense is good enough to care. I think I predicted Canes in seven, and it looks like it's going to go that way.
Did Paul Maurice say the Panthers were going to win the series after they took game two?
No, I don't think he came out and said that. I think he's got nothing to lose in terms of, you got to talk up your bunch. I mean, right. I think they're going to make it tough for Boston. For Leaf fans out there who think the Leafs are going to finish off their series tomorrow, you want to root for Florida to beat up on Boston physically and extend that series. Bergeron's coming back. I think like I said, Leaf fans are probably hoping that goes six or seven.
So Leaf fans are hoping that it goes longer to take more energy out of what Boston is bringing. But
right,
is your head telling this thing's over in five?
I would think so. Bergeron coming back. I mean, they're just a better team. I mean, I don't know who started. It's probably going to be Borowski. He could stand on his head. But, I just they're the better team. They just are. So if it's five or six, it's going to be Boston.
Last but not least, Leafs, Bolts. I picked the Leafs in five. You picked Bolts in seven. Yep. I still have a shot tomorrow, Michael Piangelo from Chicago.
I know. I'm just, I hope I'm wrong. I hope for Leafs Nation, I hope I'm wrong. Like I said, shut me up and show me.
But as of now, despite the Leafs being up 3-1, you're sticking to your original prediction.
Yeah, they have not shown that they can win a game four and finish. So shut me up and show me.
So what's your day looking like tomorrow, Mike? It's a big day for you.
Getting up early, getting up the QEW, getting on the GO train, getting to Scotiabank Arena, you know, being part of the media, talking to, you know, being part of the media scrum and maybe asking a question or two. And then, you know, writing a piece for Hockey Buzz, doing a podcast, you know, from some cafe near the arena in the afternoon. And then it'll be, you know, game five. And then it's fun, but it's also work too.
Yeah, of course it's work, and you're one of the best in the business, man. We really appreciate everything you do, not just for the convo, but for hockey reporting, hockey commentary, everything, Mike. I'm thankful to work with you, and I'm really proud of you. We'll leave with Commander Brantford. So I decided before the playoffs started, I was not going to watch the Leafs live on TV unless they got past the first round. It's been working so far, not watching tomorrow night either. But you know what Commander Brantford will be doing? Joining us for the post-game convo after the Maple Leafs win this series in five, and Norm James's prediction comes true. Well, that's what Brantford will be doing.
I'll just share this quickly. A friend of mine who is a reporter, not a sports reporter, but a reporter in Toronto, was vacationing with his wife down in Mexico, and they had the broadcast, the American broadcast on TBS. And in the third period, down 4-1, they lost the broadcast. He had to follow the comeback and the win on Twitter. So I basically said to him, says, well, they came back and won when you weren't watching, so you shouldn't watch.
Right. Yeah. It reminds me of the leaving the room in big moments. Like somebody's at bat in the ninth and they need a base runner, or in overtime, puck's ringing off the post. I leave the room and sounds like good things are happening, and then I'll peer around the corner. It's all part of the superstition. And if Commander Brantford's superstition works for him and ultimately works for the Maple Leafs, which will work for us, Commander Brantford, we will commend you. That's going to do it for the show, guys. Again, like the content, subscribe to the channel. We really appreciate it. The longer the Leafs go, the longer we'll go in terms of coverage of the 2023 Stanley Cup playoffs. It's been a blast so far. Mr. A, safe travels tomorrow. Have a lot of fun at Scotiabank Arena. And I hope it's an enjoyable night when all is said and done. OG's Commerce, thanks for being here. We are out.